You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
Hey guys, it was a few weeks ago, I received a story from somebody who'd been praying about All In, and here's what they wrote. Hey Tim, last week my spouse and I attended an All In informational meeting, and it was amazing listening to account after account of how God has worked in the lives of those around us. It was powerful. We went home and began to pray that God would open up our eyes to the whole concept of generosity. Generosity of money, yes, but also generosity of time, talent, grace. Basically, our lives would reflect the ultimate generosity of Jesus. And the next day, I was reading in my Bible in Psalm 66. Verse 12 was especially meaningful. It says, "We went through fire and flood, but you brought us into a place of great abundance." That, they write, is a picture of my life. You see, I was in slavery. I was drowning in sin and burning in shame, and God freed me. And God not only freed me, but he brought me into such abundance. I'm not talking just about financial, although for sure here in the U.S., we live in abundance. I'm talking about a deeper, greater abundance, freedom. Freedom from guilt, freedom from shame, freedom from failures, freedom from expectations, even freedom from the bondage of money and status and clout. He brought me into a place of great abundance, a sweet peace that comes from an authentic relationship with Jesus, the one who freed me. Typically, they conclude, typically I wouldn't be extremely happy about a fundraiser, but this All In, as you said, is not a fundraiser. It's a generosity raiser. And not to Grace Church, but to God. I'm excited to see God change our family. I'm excited to see God change Grace Church. I'm excited to reach those Grace is reaching out to. To sound cliche, we are all in to grow into a truly generous body of Christ. Guys, I couldn't have said it better myself. That's incredible. That's exactly what All In is about. Several weeks ago, we asked you to pray about this question. Will you commit to ask? Will you commit over the next several weeks, this is week five, would you commit to ask God about your generosity? Would you commit to listen and then do that? And so we've been praying about this, processing this with the book of Joshua for several weeks. This is week five. This week's question is very specific. Here it is. This week, okay, this week, seriously, will you ask God, listen, and do that? Ask God about your generosity, your time and abilities. Ask him about your finances in December, plus the next 2 years. Would you ask God with open hands? Would you listen to him? What God, what do you want me or us to do? And whatever he tells you, would you do that? And so far, we've seen 103 households go all in. These 103 rocks represent 103 households of people who brought their commitment card after they asked the Lord, after they listened, after they did that. They wrote that number down. They placed their stones on the stage. Here they are, 103 stones representing 103 households, people who have already gone all in. We're going through a study of Joshua chapter 1 through 6. So far, we started in Joshua chapter 1, and we saw what it means, Joshua 1, what does it mean to look, what does it look like for all of us to seek God? Every man, every woman, every child, the nation of Israel started at the Jordan River. In Joshua 3, we talked about what it means for all of us to step out in faith. Israel had 2 million people on the other side of a flooded Jordan River. God moved the waters back. Every man, every woman, every child stepped across the Jordan River, the dry riverbed, trusting God. God would not drown them. He would keep his promises. What would it look like for all of us to step out in faith? In Joshua 4, we talk about what it looks like for all of us to worship, to see God build these memorials on the inside that nobody can see, memorials on the outside that people can see that God is generous, pictures of his generosity. In Joshua chapter 5 last week, we talked about what does it look like for all of us to sacrifice. Nothing great ever happens without sacrifice. The call of the cross is a call to sacrifice. What would it look like for all of us to sacrifice? This week, Joshua 5, verse 13 through 15. So you can turn your Bibles to Joshua 5, 13 to 15. We see the commander of the Lord's armies show up, have a conversation with Joshua. Two military leaders have this moment outside of Jericho, which is shut up, and our topic is topic of surrender. What does it look like to fully surrender to the Lord? It means that you ask the Lord, what does my Lord say to his servant? And whatever he tells you, you do that. Are you surrendered fully to Jesus? How would you know? Well, this week's question. This week, would you ask God about your generosity? Would you listen? And would you surrender? Would you do that? So we're going to be in three verses, Joshua 5, verse 13, 14, and 15. These two military leaders meet. And so as I read the start of verse 13, I'm reminded of this thought. Here's the first thought I see if you're taking notes. Everyone wants God on their side. I think everybody, at least most everybody, actually does want God on their side. I mean, just read the bumper stickers or look at the little plaques we put up. You know, there's the footprints in the sand. This footprints in the sand. It's an indication that God is on our side. There's bumper sticker, Jesus is my co-pilot. God is on my side. Jesus, take the wheel. God is on my side. I think most people would like to think or hope God is on their side. And so you see this meeting starting at Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Joshua 5, verse 13 says this. The start of it, the A part, says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Okay, so Joshua is patrolling outside of Jericho, is shut up. And it does feel differently. Here's a machete. It's not a full sword. But it feels different if you see somebody walking towards you with a sword still in its sheath or a sword drawn. Here, watch this. I'm going to walk towards you. The sword is in its sheath. That would feel different to Joshua. But that was not what Joshua saw. He saw a sword drawn. And the guy was walking to him like this. It feels different when a sword is drawn. And so Joshua's a military leader. He says, hey, what exactly are you doing? Are you on my side or are you on their side? Just a moment. So the sword was drawn, and it says in Scripture this guy was a man. He was a man. Now this man, by the way, it's three options of who this man is. It's capitalized in this Bible version. But some people believe this man is a human. Some people believe he's an angel. Some people believe he's the pre-incarnate Christ. I personally believe this man is none other than the pre-incarnate Christ. If you look in the book Love Jesus on page 24, here's a chart from page 24 of the book Love Jesus I wrote for you to be a disciple and make disciples. One of the several appearances of Jesus in history before he was born of a virgin is the commander of Joshua's armies showing up. And why do I believe that? Write down Revelation 22, verses 8 through 9. In Revelation 22, verses 8 through 9, you find another time John bows down to an angel. What does the angel tell him? Get up. You don't bow down to angels. You don't worship angels. This guy, this man, accepts the worship. Accepts this guy bowing down. Now, so the response, here's this moment. He shows up with his sword drawn in his hands. And in Joshua 5, verse 13b, the second half, he says to him, and Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? He says, whose side are you on? And he goes to him now. He approaches this guy with the sword drawn and says, are you for us or those guys in Jericho? Now, one of the funny things about the Lord is that God is not interested in being on your side. God is not on Tim's side. He's not on your side. He's not here to be for you. When God shows up to take over. God does not show up in our lives to be on our side, but we'd like to have that. He's our co-pilot. He's on my side. He's take the wheel now. No, he shows up to be the pilot, to lead our lives, to take over. You see this, by the way, the answer of this man, this commander, at the start of verse 14a, he says, so he said, no. Hey, are you for us or are you for our enemies? My answer, no. I got option C. I'm in charge of you. I'm not for you. I'm not for them. I came to take over. He says, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And guys, that's exactly what we see in Scripture in the New Testament. When Jesus Christ dies for us, rises again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, we don't live for God to be on our side. We are on God's side. We live for him. And it says, and that he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You see, when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, God is not on your side. You become on his side. He is the commander of the armies of the Lord. And that's why we ask the Lord for direction in our entire life. And the more you ask, the more spiritually mature you are. And you listen and you do that. Why? He's the commander. Now picture this moment. The commander has shown up. He's there. And what is Joshua going to do? He'd approached him already, challenged him. And he said, no, I'm not for you. I'm in charge of you. I'm coming here to take over. Joshua had several bad options. Here's five bad options for Joshua. He could have turned around and run from him, just ran back to the camp. He could have argued with him. No, you're not commander. I'm commander. He could have ordered him around. I'm glad you showed up. I'm putting you on the front line. He could have fought him. That's a really dumb idea. He could have drawn his sword and gone after it. Or he could have just done nothing, ignored him, not listened, done nothing. I wonder, by the way, the last several weeks, we've asked you to pray about the Lord, pray about what God wants you to do. Ask God about your generosity and then listen and then do that. Have any of these been a challenge for you? Have you sensed the need, the desire to run from God, to run from that question? Have you been arguing with God? God, I don't want to do that. God's been prompting you. I don't want to do that. You're arguing with God. Have you tried to order him around? Okay, God, if you do this first, then I will do that. It's role reversal. Have you been fighting him, drawing out the sword and going at it? Or have you done nothing? I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to change. I'm going to do nothing. Now, what Joshua did was brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant. Might write these down. These are genius moments. So step one, what did Joshua do? Joshua asked God. He asked God. This is the commander who came to take over. He says, what? I will do anything. Joshua 5 verse 14b, the second half of Joshua 5, 14 says this. It says, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth. He's on his knees. His head is down. And he worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? I will do anything. Joshua prayed about it. Joshua asked God. But he didn't just stop there. It's brilliant. Not only did Joshua ask God, number two, take these notes. Joshua listened. Joshua asked God for direction. Then Joshua listened. And God spoke to him. Joshua 5 verse 15, the start of it, 15a, says this. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. You might write down what's happening right here. Write down Exodus 3, verse 5. See, in Exodus 3, verse 5, Moses is on the mountain. There's the burning bush moment. God's presence is there in the burning bush. And God tells him, take your shoes off. I'm here. This is now holy ground. This is a reenactment, Joshua's moment with the commander of the Lord's armies. Take your shoes off is what I want you to do. Joshua asked God. Joshua listened. And step number three, Joshua did that. He did what God said. Now, he'd do anything in the world, but he did what God said. Joshua 5 verse 15b says, and Joshua did so. Joshua took off his shoes in this amazing moment. Here's our question this week. This week, would you be like Joshua? This week, our question. This week, will you ask God? This week, will you listen? This week, Will you do what God tells you? Now, over the course, I highlight the word listen here, underline listen, because some of the questions people had over the last several weeks is, how do you listen to God? Okay, we're talking about listening to God. Listen to God. How do you actually listen to God? It's a great question, because when even the phrase listen to God creates a bias in us to like audible words. And there are moments when God will prompt you like almost audibly. God absolutely does that. But he also leads you and prompts you in various ways. How do you process God's leadership, God speaking to you? You need two things. Write these that are incredibly important down. Number one, the Bible. The way we listen to God is the Bible. God gave the Bible, speaking through prophets who recorded scripture. So when you and I read it, God is speaking to us today. That's page 64 in the book Love, Jesus. In the book Love, Jesus, I draw this diagram that comes from 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about how God spoke through prophets. And when those prophets' words were recorded as prophecies in the Bible, when you and I read the prophecies that God spoke through a prophet to record in the Bible and you read it, God is speaking to you. Write down Matthew 22, verse 31. Matthew 22, 31, Jesus says, have you not read what God spoke to you? God spoke to you through the Bible. In fact, one of the places that God tells us that every Christian should be giving, absolutely, is 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 7 says this, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows, who gives bountifully, will also reap bountifully. That's the law of sowing and reaping. If you're bountiful in sowing, you're bountiful in reaping. If you're not bountiful, sparing in your generosity, you'll be sparing in your reaping. Verse 7, so let each one give. There's the command. Every believer in Jesus Christ should be giving, absolutely. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, not getting upset about it, or of necessity, because some law somewhere, for God loves a cheerful giver. Here is the call in Scripture to absolutely give and have a heart of freedom and generosity, because your generosity is out of love and surrender, not of obedience and duty. And here's a series of scriptures to read this week. God speaks on giving in the book of Malachi. Take a picture of this right now. Get your phones out. Take a picture of this. God speaks in Malachi 3, 8 through 12. Jesus speaks about giving. Matthew 6, 19 to 34. Paul writes about giving in two chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 through 9. And Paul again writes about giving. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 19. If you read these passages this week, God will speak through the prophets to you. Listen to God. How do we hear God? Read these four scriptures this week. Ask God. Listen and do that. Here's the second way we listen to God. Number one is the Bible. Number two is to pray and be aware. I put pray and be aware. Now, the scriptural phrase is to watch and pray. To watch and pray means you're like, you have this awareness, you're watching for God to speak to you in a variety of ways. And there's a promise in Scripture that if you pray for wisdom, if you actually ask the Lord about your generosity, if you listen, he will speak to you. Here's a promise. James 1 verse 5 says this. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, if you don't know what your generosity, what God himself would say your generosity should be, if you lack wisdom, ask. Let him ask of God. That is the challenge. Ask the Lord, listen, and do that. Let him ask God who gives wisdom to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask, it will be given to you. Now, how does God give wisdom to us? Here's four ways that God speaks to us, that we listen to God. Four ways after praying and watching this week. After praying and simply being aware, here are some ways God may speak to you this week. And I would say, by the way, there are people of the 103 households who went all in, who prayed, sensed a number, listened and wrote that down. As they continued praying about it, two texts I got last Sunday of people saying, God spoke to me. That's not quite where we need to be, and raised their all-in number because they kept listening to what God wants. Here are the four ways. It might be a scripture or peace or coincidences or prompting. A specific scripture. As you pray, God, what should I do about my generosity? One of those scriptures might keep coming back to mind over and over and over. The Holy Spirit using a specific scripture. Let each one give. Might be popping up in your mind. One of those other scriptures. Might be a scripture. Might be a sense of peace or not peace. So there are times that God speaks to us. The more we pray, the more open-handed we are, the better we feel about one option, and the worse we feel about another option. God speaks through a sense of peace from time to time. Or a series of coincidences. Had a couple. Both prayed about their generosity. Both landed separately on the same number. That's not coincidence. Or this number keeps coming up over here and over there. This concept, that's not coincidence. That's the Holy Spirit. Or a direct prompting. In some cases, you'll sense that is what God wants you to do. Would you ask the Lord about your generosity? Would you ask God? Would you listen? Would you do that? Now, one of our church planters named Jimmy Archis. So Jimmy is our church planter headed to San Diego. And so he's headed to San Diego, but he threw out this passage in Joshua 5, verse 15. And to him, it was incredibly anticlimactic. In fact, we read this scripture, and here's what Jimmy did. He's like, and when Jimmy does that look, Jimmy's thinking. And so he says, seriously? That seems so anticlimactic. Like, this is the moment Joshua, the commander of God's armies, meets the true commander, the pre-incarnate Christ, and he'll do anything in the world. And he says, here's your heroic moment. Take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. That's not very heroic, but it was a command from God. So I want you to picture the moment. So Joshua's on his hands and knees. See, when you follow the Lord, things that are not very heroic are heroic. Imagine the moment. Here's Joshua, head down, and God speaks to him and says, take your shoes off. Shoes off? Lord, is that the theme from the movie The Natural? Okay, yes. I will. Lord, I will take my shoes off. I will. God, my left shoe is off. Lord, my right shoe is off. Joshua wore Adidas apparently. But Lord, I am all in with you. Guys, taking your shoes off sounds so incredibly anticlimactic. But if God tells you to do something, it's big or it's small. When you ask God about anything, and then you do that. When you ask God, listen to that, that mundane thing becomes incredibly heroic. Here's a series of things in Scripture that seem like incredibly mundane, but they're absolutely heroic. A series of things in Scripture. People who walk in faith. Who walk in faith. That's heroic. People who carry something in faith is heroic. People who ask, pray in faith is heroic. People who eat food in faith is heroic. People who give in faith, it's heroic. I want you to imagine your all-in moment with Jesus this week. Here you are praying. You're saying, God, what do you want me to do, our household to do regarding generosity? Lord, I will do that. I will go all in with you. Lord, here's my card. Here's my grace pen. Why do I have 20 of these at home? Lord, my name is Tim Howie. My email is T. Howie. My address, campus, and my wallet number is this, Lord. Lord, I'm going all in with you. When you ask God, when you listen, when you do that, even the mundane is heroic, acting in faith. Guys, this week, will you ask God about your generosity? Doing what Joshua did. What does my Lord say to his servant? God, I'll do anything. I will do anything. Because you're my Lord. You're the commander. And I am your servant. Would you listen through Scripture, through the Holy Spirit? Be aware. Would you do that?
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.